Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I sense the Lord, His presence here in this place today. Why don't you reach out to the Lord and let Him help you in this service this morning? Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a few verses of scripture. Before I do, just want to give another little exhortation, and that is concerning Sunday night and Wednesday night. We need everybody here on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. The Lord has been so real in our services, and these are days when you need help from God, and you need help from the Lord. Need to avail yourself of every opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Sometimes I know our schedules have us just running, going different directions, and that's why it's an important thing to be able just to kind of set it aside, get into the house of the Lord, enter into the presence of God. So I hope to see every one of you here tonight at 6:30. Amen. Make your best effort to be here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and I'm going to read beginning with verse number 2. 2 Corinthians 12 and 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up in the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. I think he repeated that so that people would say, really? That's what happened to you? You really had that kind of an experience? I tell you, Paul was receiving divine revelation and communication from heaven so much that he didn't know if he was on heaven or on earth. He just knew he was in the presence of God. Amen. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Praise the Lord. The theme of this text is, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Praise the Lord. Now, a lot of things happen to a person when they become a Christian. When you come to the Lord, you see things differently. Your life is changed. You're totally transformed by the power of God. And everything is different. And there are many wonderful blessings and benefits that accompany the walk with God and the Christian experience, of which we can testify to that, every one of us here today. But we also have to look at another aspect that comes into a person's life when he becomes a Christian. And that is the fact that when you are born again and you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you also become a target of the enemy. You become a target of the enemy of your soul. If you're a person who has set your mind and your heart to seek after the Lord with your whole heart, you're endeavoring to do that, then you can be sure that the enemy is going to step up his attacks against you to try to keep you from succeeding in the will and the plan of God for your life. And I think that some Christians, especially new Christians, sometimes this catches you off guard because you think, I thought I was going to get saved and it was going to be smooth sailing from here on out. But little did you know that as you go along the way, just a little ways, suddenly you find yourself being attacked of the enemy. And you might not have been expecting it. Sometimes it's a spiritual attack it's an attack in your physical body. Sometimes it's an attack, oftentimes it is an attack in your mind. Just the enemy trying to whittle away at your faith and your confidence in the Lord. And we know that that happens. Isaiah 59, it says, he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. The person who leaves the camp of the enemy, begins to follow the Lord and is pursuing after the things of God, you put yourself in a position of being the prey of the enemy. Satan working against you, attacking you, and trying to stop your faith from growing and your experience with the Lord from succeeding. You know, after a lot of years in the ministry and trying to help people under the attack of the enemy. And you know, you can try counseling and you can try all different types of things. I don't know, I've probably got dozens of books back there in my library that are dealing with this very subject of the attack of the enemy against the believer. All those things have their place and they're all helpful in their place. But in reality, what you need most in the time of that the enemy is attacking you is you need a present day word from God. You need a present day word from the Lord. You need grace and help for that particular situation that you're in at that moment. You have to have help from the Lord. And I am glad that there is a faithful God. If you'll call on the Lord, He will speak to you. He will give you a word. He will lift you up and help you in your time of attack. There's a word that we've heard used even in a spiritual context before, and it's the word bombard or bombardment. And that's a word that really, you have to go back to the 15th century to see where that word come from, because the word bombard was literally a weapon. It was like a small cannon gun that could shoot like stone balls. And it was small enough that it could be moved around pretty well with just, you know, a few people to move it. And whenever it was used, primarily whenever an army was putting a particular city under siege. And what they would do is they would position these bombards around the city. And then when they start to attack, it never let up. It just came. Pow. And then from every side, from every direction. And literally, that is what would happen whenever a city come under siege from an army, that they were constantly being bombarded by these stones that were being shot up against the wall. And really what it did was it put the city, almost in hiding. They all had to get down. They would always position these bombards out far enough that the archers wouldn't be able to reach them, that none of their other weapons on the walls would be able to reach to them. They were just out far enough that they could effectively aim them and shoot them toward the wall and shoot them toward the city, and they would be surrounded constantly. They wouldn't let up. And so everyone literally had to go underground. They had to find a hiding place. And this would go on for days and days and days, to the point that no one could travel in and out of the city. And even though the gates had to be sealed up tight to keep the enemy from getting in, so as a result, there was no food supplies that were coming in. There was none of the other things that were necessary for their daily strengthening and provisions that they needed to. And so it wouldn't be long until they became weak, and it wasn't long until they would have to just give up and surrender and open up the gates, and then they would fall prey and come under the dominion and the control of the enemy.
That's what a bombardment is. That's what the enemy does against the people of God. That's what he does to men and women of God. He does it to families. The enemy does it to churches. He does it to preachers. He does it to anyone who's in a place that they want to seek after God. And if you're really attempting to serve the Lord and live faithfully to God and live in such a way as to please the Lord, you are a target of the enemy. You become the prey of the enemy. Amen. As a matter of fact, sometimes new Christians, they begin to think, I think this was easier before I got saved. Or at least it was easier before I really, really made a real dedication to God. But I was just kind of living haphazard and careless and just barely, you know, in the kingdom. And then the enemy, he just left me alone. It didn't have any trouble. But when I started to pray and I started to seek the Lord and I spent time in the presence of God and I began to obey the Lord and step out in ministry and step out to do something for the Lord, then suddenly, wham, I'm hit by the enemy. And I'm not just hit, but I'm surrounded by the enemy. And he hits me from every side against me, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You're bombarded by the enemy. Some of you know exactly what I'm describing here this morning. Just think about Satan's day. Just think about his day, the day that Saul was on the road to Damascus. You see, Saul was really Satan's prize. He was his prize. And he was so proud of Saul because Saul was, he was destroying the church everywhere that he went. He was threatening and bringing havoc and destruction to the church. And everything that Saul was doing, Satan was just sitting back smiling because he knew he had a prize fighter in that situation. And Saul is destroying the church, and everybody is scared to death of Saul. The fame of him is gone everywhere. And that's proven by the fact that when he finally comes into the city of Damascus, that nobody wants to see him. And when the Lord even speaks to Ananias and says, this is the one you need to go and you need to go and speak to him. He said, oh no, this is the one that's destroying the church. I've heard about him. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to come up against this one. So Saul had a reputation, and he was the prize, Satan's prize. But on that day, something miraculous took place, because there was a light that shone out of heaven and a voice that spoke out of heaven to Saul. And the Bible says that him and all that were with him fell to the ground. Amen. Let me tell you, that was a mighty fall to the ground. As a matter of fact, that fall was so powerful, it shook the earth. It actually shook the very bowels of hell. And if Satan was in a little bit of a, just kind of a comfortable place, knowing that he had Saul there doing his work, and I can just kind of imagine Satan just kind of relaxing and taking it easy, and all of a sudden, wham, an earthquake strikes the very center of the bowels of hell, and they wake up and realize something has happened. I know that I'm adding a little more to the story than is there, but this is really what happened. Amen. That Saul, something is happening, and before he knows it, Satan, he's calling a special meeting of all of his imps and his demons, and we got to get together. We got to do something about this problem. They've got Saul, and the last thing I heard him say was, "Master, what would you have me to do?" And now he's on his knees and he's fasting for 3 days, and things are happening fast. We're going to have to do something about this situation. Before he knows it, it's just a matter of days. And Saul, who is Paul, is out in that very chapter. He is already out preaching in the synagogues. And the people are still scared of him, saying, who is this guy? He was working against us, and now he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This has happened so fast. And Paul becomes this mighty force for the kingdom of God, an unstoppable force for the kingdom of God. And so Satan, a special call meeting, all of his devils and demons, what are we going to do? We're going to have to do something. And it's verified here in the scripture what was done. Verse 7, he says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger, or angel, is the word. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Amen. Let me tell you, just as it was this way in the case of Paul, it was also in the case of Job. That God didn't bring the temptation or the destruction, but sometimes he does step back and allow the enemy to do certain things to the people of God. But if he does it, it's only because he knows that he's going to be able to get glory out of this situation. And his power is going to be demonstrated in a greater way through this situation. It's the only reason why that God allows his children to come under this kind of a situation. The messenger of Satan. I know I'm leaving some of this to imagination. But no doubt, Lucifer points at this one and says, okay, you're the one. I want you to go. You have an assignment for the rest of his life. I want you to dog him. I want you to stay with him. I want you to stay with him. A messenger of Satan. Satan's angelic messenger who comes to Paul and he is there, a messenger to buffet him. Do you know what the word buffet means? The word buffet means to rap with your fist. It's like to punch. And that's literally what the messenger of Satan came to do to Paul. Every time he tried to do something for God, he stepped this direction and Satan, bang. And he would try another effort. And he was hit again. He was pummeled continuously. That was his life. He said, this messenger of Satan has come to buffet me. He just pounded on me all the time. I'm under the attack. Constant bombardment from the enemy. This messenger of Satan that has come against me. To rap with the fist, to punch. So he prays, Lord, remove this. Please, Lord, remove this. Let me tell you, if anybody can get a prayer through, Paul can get a prayer through. And he did get this prayer through. But the answer was, no, Paul, I'm not gonna move this demonic force who comes against you all the time. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna remove him. Verse 9. For he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Glory to God. Amen. You know that grace, the word grace, it has several, the main meaning of the word grace is that grace is like a gift. It's really the same thing. It's a gift, but it also, in the context of the word in the New Testament, the word grace, it is power, strength, ability, God's power, God's help, God's strength that's given to you. There's also the idea of the attack of the enemy when you need grace is an influence of the heart. Grace is an influence upon your heart. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. That God comes with strength and with power. We are not to lose heart. We are not to lose strength. You may feel like I'm being pounded on. Every day, the more I pray, the more I seek the Lord, the more I try to do the will of God, the more I attempt to be faithful to the Lord. Why is it that I'm being pummeled and pounded by the enemy? Well, God says, my grace is sufficient. That's a wonderful word. The word sufficient there. The Greek word, which I cannot pronounce. It means to raise a barrier. Amen. To raise up a defense. That's what the word means. My grace is sufficient. It's the sufficient defense for you. That the enemy, he's trying to make every blow count. He's pounding away against you. But my grace is strong enough that I can raise up a wall of defense against him for you. And so that his blows will not have the death blow. It won't finish you off. It won't be the blow that's going to knock you down and destroy you. My grace is sufficient. It will raise up a barrier. The idea is also found in Isaiah 59 and verse 19. When the enemy, last part of the verse, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, like a bombardment. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. When the enemy's pounding you. You notice that when trouble comes, many times it comes, you know, from all different sides. It'll be, you know, financial trouble, family trouble, marital problems, you name it, physical problems. Just the enemy comes at you from all different angles because his goal is to cause you to quit believing and trusting God. Amen. And be reminded of this, that if you're under this attack, it's because the enemy wants to destroy you, just like he wanted to stop Paul. He saw the force that he was for the kingdom of God. And so that's why he assigned a special messenger to him. Go to him and just punch on him every day. Beat on him every day. Just beat him up. Every chance you have, you just beat upon him. But instead, the apostle Paul said, oh no, I've asked that the Lord would remove this. But he told me that his grace, his power was enough. It was sufficient. It would raise up a protection for me and keep me from being defeated and destroyed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My grace is sufficient for thee. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You no doubt have had this kind of an experience, but when you find yourself beaten down under the load of troubles and problems and things that are dealing coming your way, sometimes you feel literally overwhelmed, as if you cannot deal with one more situation. But the reminder here from the Word of God is that God says, when you are weak, when you have no strength left, when you don't know what to do and you have no answers, and all of the life has gone out of you, you can't do anything about your circumstance, that's when God says, I'm going to come. I'm going to rush right in with my power into your situation. Glory to God. I'm going to pour my spirit out upon you. I'm going to bless you and anoint you and touch you and use you in ways that you could never imagine. And that's why that the apostle Paul said, so the enemy, he thinks that he's really destroying the effectiveness of my life in the kingdom of God. But really all that he does is he's made me weak. And when I'm weak, then I'm strengthened by the power of the Spirit of God. When I'm weak, I don't have anything to offer. I can't do anything. That's when God comes rushing in with his mighty power and spirit and fills us up and gives us sufficient grace and sufficient help in our time of need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You don't know what days are coming. You don't know. Some days are worse than others. I've had a few lately that I thought, this is probably the worst day I've ever had to face. Probably not. But I've had a few days like that. This must be the worst situation that I've ever had to deal with. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25. This is a great verse. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Amen. Amen. When you get up tomorrow morning, you don't have any idea what you're going to face. Everything just it might be easy, no trouble, no problems. Or you might be faced with the biggest heartache of your life. You do not know what a day is going to bring forth, but the promise of God right here is, as your days are, so will my strength be. Amen. I've already got this supply of strength already. It's already for the day. So you're not going to be caught off guard. God knows what you're experiencing. He knows what you're going through. And when you face that crisis of your life, as your day may be, then there's going to be sufficient power, sufficient grace poured out upon you and into your life and into your situation if you'll put your hope in the Lord. Hallelujah. You see this lesson repeatedly in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 with all these heroes of faith. We remember them for their great faith and what they accomplished. But when you read down the list of all these heroes of faith, every one of them were persecuted. They faced all kinds of trouble and sorrow and trouble and heartache, test of their faith. But then by faith, they were able to do what the Lord told them to do. By faith, they were able to step forth and to see God work in their life, each one of them. And we follow in the steps of those heroes of faith here today, knowing that no matter what we face, no matter what this day holds or this week holds or the coming days hold, we do not know the future. God knows, and he has sufficient grace for every day. Hallelujah. He has the supply. He has the answer for that very day. Hebrews 11, verse 24, talking about those heroes of faith who out of weakness were made strong. You'll see that that is the continuing principle all throughout the word of the Lord. That when you find yourself beaten up by the devil, pounded on him. Amen. Just remember this. The enemy, he saw you as a threat to the kingdom of God. That's why he sent this person to come and beat up on you. This messenger of the devil. That's why he's there. He's punching you and you're constantly feeling the attack and the oppression of the enemy. Because Satan knows you are a threat to his kingdom. And he knows that God is going to empower you. Amen. Just remember though, you may be as low can be, but you can't get too low for God to reach where you are. Amen. As low as you might be, his grace is sufficient. When I'm weak, then he's strong. Amen. He steps up. He steps in. He gives the power. He gives the sufficiency. He fights the battle. He works for you. He empowers you to accomplish what he's called you to accomplish. Hallelujah. So Paul said, what I've done is I've taken this kind of a situation. I've just turned it around on the enemy. He said, I take pleasure in it. When all these things come up on me and I start feeling all these punches from the enemy, I just take pleasure in it. Not that he enjoyed getting hit by the enemy. It was just that he was seeing down the road a little bit and he was saying, okay, here it comes again. The enemy, he's pounding on me again. This must mean that God's getting ready to do something big. This must be. So I'll just take pleasure in this. Go ahead, Satan. Try your hardest blow. Try what you think you can do. My strength is in the Lord. My grace, my power is in the Lord. And it's sufficient for the situation. I take pleasure in it. Amen. I'll glory in it. In infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, it all just backfires on the enemy if you don't lose heart. Amen. All of his plan, all he's trying to do. Let me tell you, I believe he sent that messenger to Paul, and he dogged him every day of his life. Every day, that messenger of Satan was lying to him. He was trying to attack him. He was pounding on him. Paul just said, I'm going to keep going. He fought a good fight. All the way to the end. He stayed true to the Lord. And every time that Satan would try to beat him down to the ground, he would just come up with great power and strength. Because when he got in his weakest condition, then he received this wonderful infusion of divine power and grace into his life that lifted him up out of that situation. Hallelujah. Praise God. My grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Whatever you might be dealing with here today, I want to tell you, you can get low. Your heart can be broken. You can be as low can be. But if you'll look to the Lord, there's strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you'll look to the Lord, if you'll just cry out to the Lord. Let me tell you, it don't have to be any fancy prayer. It doesn't have to be anything eloquent. It just has to be, a little child who's saying, I'm weak. I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm out of strength. I don't know how to face this situation. This day seems overwhelming to me. And the grace of God comes. The power of God comes. The sufficiency of Christ becomes ours, and we are a victory. We're living in victory and experiencing the victory that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Maybe some of you are dealing with situations. I have. Marcia has. Some others of you here today. I just wonder how many of you have felt the bombardment of Satan against your mind or against your circumstance. And the very things that God has called you to do and he's positioned you to do, you can't see how you can do it. Let me tell you, when you're under this kind of bombardment of the enemy, when you pray sometimes, this is my experience, that I have to fight to keep my mind on the Lord. I have to fight because there's these continuous thoughts that are coming against my mind. And I find myself drifting off into thinking. When you realize what you're thinking is about, it's always about, what about this? Or what about this problem? Or what about this situation? And let me tell you, that is the bombardment of the enemy. Because he's trying to
distract you. And to get you from the presence of God and calling upon the Lord. Don't allow the enemy to do that.
You call upon him with your whole heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. His grace is sufficient for you today. You may feel like you're overwhelmed. But even though you are, let me tell you, the enemy may be pounding on you today. You may be experiencing that, but oh, his grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. He can help you and he can lift you up out of the lowest predicament that you have ever been in if you'll turn to the Lord with your whole heart. I just wonder how many of you that you sense this similar type of attack of the enemy. Maybe the enemy has sent you your own messenger to pound on you. It may be what's been going on in your life recently, and you want help from the Lord, and I ask you by faith just to stand up where you are at your seat. Would you do that? You're under this pummeling of the enemy. This, you know, he's just beating on you, trying to deceive you, and he's lying to you and working against you. Let me tell you, he's a liar, and he's not going to succeed because you're going to cry out to God today. Amen. You're going to cry out to God today. And the Lord is going to come with his sufficiency and he's going to build up a defense against the enemy. He's going to empower you. And you be reminded of this. The only reason that you are under this attack is because you're a threat to the kingdom of God. Or you're a threat to the kingdom of the enemy. And he knows that you are going to be used of God to advance the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let me tell you, when you begin to cry out to the Lord Jesus, Satan's plan starts crumbling. Amen. 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 He had a well-laid plan and a scheme, and it was to wipe you out, destroy you. He thought he was going to be able to do it. You didn't have much left in you, but you just started saying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, rescue me. Jesus, come to me in my situation. Suddenly, he steps up and he builds a defense. And he becomes your defender. His grace is sufficient. And he begins to destroy the works of the enemy and the lies of the enemy and begins to lead you into a victory that is yours through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of you that are standing, I ask you just to set your focus and your attention upon Jesus and upon the promises of God here today. And don't allow the enemy to distract you. But would you just lift your hands this morning and begin to cry out to God. Ask the Lord to move in your situation and to be your sufficiency. Would you do that? Would you begin to cry out to the Lord? And if others of you here would be willing just to step from your seat where you're seated right now and walk over and pray with someone that's standing right now. Would you do that? Amen. Because there are seasons of time you may not be under a direct attack of the enemy here today, but you probably will be soon, next week, next month, sometime, you're going to be. But right now, go pray with one of these brothers, these sisters. Go pray with one of these young people. And let's ask the Lord to bring victory today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we're believing you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.